Good morning. Ooh. That's a bit loud for all you deaf people. Anyway, if there's something I've learned over the last 2 weeks, it's my appreciation for Pastor Chad and all the pastors that are out there. I used to always kind of give Chad a bad time about, you know, how much time he thinks he needs to prepare for a sermon. I'm always saying, like, seriously, Chad, till 1 in the morning? Come on, really? But actually, after 2 weeks of this, I completely understand. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of study. So I'm never going to bother him about it again. But let's start off this morning by reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So today, and I want to thank actually Martin and Vanessa. Those are beautiful songs. But Vanessa, I thank you for your words. Today we're going to talk about knowing him. Knowing him, not just knowing about him. There is a world of difference between knowing about somebody and actually knowing them. We might study their biographies, memorize their words, or even admire their achievements, but that doesn't mean we have a relationship with them. The same goes for Jesus Christ. So many people think they know him. They know about him. They know that he was born in Bethlehem. They know he was crucified at Calvary and that he rose again. But Christ didn't come so we could have information about him. He came so we could have intimacy with him. Our calling as followers of Jesus is not merely to believe that he exists, but to walk with him daily, to love him deeply, and to be transformed by his presence. Last week I spoke a lot about transformation, but this again just says we have to understand that he is in us. The Holy Spirit he has given to us so we can walk daily and know that he doesn't ever leave us. A genuine relationship with Jesus is actually the heartbeat of a Christian life. So let me show you 9 steps how walking with him looks. First of all, understanding what a relationship with Jesus means. A relationship with Jesus begins where religion ends. Religion says do more and be good enough. But relationship says come as you are. When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't hand them a list of rituals and rules. He simply said, follow me. That simple invitation captures everything a relationship built on trust, love, and surrender. To have a relationship with Jesus means a personal connection. Jesus is not a distant figure. Through the Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, he abides in us and with us, and he invites us to know him personally. Ongoing communication is so important. Relationships thrive on communication. We know that in our marriages. If we didn't communicate very well, marriages would fail because you need to communicate. You need to speak. Well, that's no different with our relationship with Christ. He wants communication. So how do we do that? Well, we do it through prayer. We do it through scripture. We do it by listening and responding to him. Mutual love. First John chapter 4, verse 19 reminds us, we love because he first loved us. Every relationship with Christ is rooted in his initiating love. Think of it like a candle's flame that must be tended continually. It's not about one emotional moment that happened 2,026 years ago, but it's a daily fellowship that keeps our hearts burning bright. Number two, the foundation, his grace, not our performance. Many believers drift from relationship into performance, measuring their closeness to Jesus by how often they attend church, how well they behave. But grace reminds us that we are loved not because what we have done, but because Christ has done it all. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Actually, I'm going to move this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 teaches us that we are not saved by grace through faith. That we are saved by grace through faith. Sorry. Not by works. We are not going to get a relationship with Christ through our works, so that no one can boast, as it said. Grace is not a license, though, to be lazy. It's the soil where love and obedience grow. When we grasp that Jesus' forgiveness is total and unearned, we are freed from guilt and striving. Just imagine when your child is learning to walk. I remember when the little mouse was trying to walk and she was constantly falling over. But mom didn't discipline her or scold her for that. She just picked her back up and helped her try again. That's how Jesus relates to us. He delights not in our perfection, but in our desire to keep walking with him. Our performance might falter, but his presence never fails us. Number three, walking closely, the practices that deepen relationship. Okay, so what are those practices? Number one, prayer, communion with him. It's not an obligation. Prayer is not a religious duty. It's a conversation with the one who loved you the most and loves you. When we speak honestly and listen quietly, prayer becomes a living language. It's a language of intimacy. Sometimes it's words, sometimes it's silence. But every moment spent with Jesus shapes our hearts. Scripture, hearing his voice. Our generation today, myself, my children, my grandchildren, and you, we are all flooded with noise. The world wants to keep us completely oblivious to everything else. But Scripture is where his voice becomes clear. Reading the Gospels, we meet the living Jesus, compassionate, truthful, full of grace. As we read, the Holy Spirit personalizes his words, making them nourishment for our souls. Community, this here, loving as he loves. Relationship with Jesus was never meant to be solitary. He places us in and amongst the body of believers to experience his love through others, being in fellowship, sharing, praying, serving one another. Keeps our faith real and grounded. Obedience. That's one a lot of people struggle with. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." Obedience is not how we earn his love. It's how we respond to it. Every small act of faithfulness, choosing patience, forgiveness, or generosity is an act of relational love. Those rhythms are not boxes that we check off. They are spaces where love grows. So number four, and I'm sure lots of us have had these barriers that hinder our relationship with Christ. Even the most devoted believers can drift away. Understanding what weakens our relationship with Christ helps us guard against it. Distractions. We have many, many distractions. Business can drown out devotion. Our souls need quiet places where we can hear his whispers. How many times do you hear somebody say busy to you? I'm busy. I'm too busy. We're busy. That's a word that, do you know that the enemy absolutely loves that word? He loves it. Because actually, if you think of it as an acronym, it stands for being under Satan's yoke. And there's so much truth to that. Because if he can keep us occupied and away from spending time with Jesus, trust me, he's one very happy camper. Sin and guilt. Unconfessed sin creates distance between us and God, not because Jesus withdraws from us, but because we withdraw our hearts from him. Confession reopens the door to intimacy. Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven yesterday, today, and tomorrow." True, that is true, but we must still recognize them and bring them to him in prayer. So he helps us to work them out of our lives. So there's been so many times, like I told you last week about how my pet peeve is the F-bomb. Well, I'm not immune, I'm sorry. I get angry, something will happen, and that comes out of my mouth. But I take it to him. I take it to him in prayer, and I ask him, "I understand, Lord, that I am forgiven, but I need to recognize I need to do this less. And just continue." And what I find with him is exactly what you said earlier about he bleeds things off of us. Just as his blood bled for us, he takes those sins and he will bleed them off of us. So at some point in time, we do them less and less and less until they finally wash away. Self-reliance, that's another one. When we rely on our own strength instead of him, our dependence on him erodes. Humility keeps us connected. A lot of people, I've heard lots of people say, "Well, I don't need to go to church. I can watch it on TV. There's like 8-10 different pastors. I can listen to them every week." But you're sitting there alone. You're alone. And that's not what Christ wants. He wants you to have community. He wants you to be around other believers so you can encourage each other and work together to grow in your faith with Christ. Every barrier can be dismantled when we turn back to Christ. I don't know how many of you watch The Chosen, but there's a character in there. His name's Peter. And I'll tell you, if there's anybody that can show us what we all look like, it's him. That is a man. Wow. What did Jesus say to Peter after he denied him? What did he say? He said, "Do you love me?" Simple, three words. Inviting us, or in this case, it was inviting him back to restoration, not rejection. The transforming, number five, is the transforming power of a relationship. When you truly know Jesus, you cannot remain the same anymore. Remember I told you about me being the king of my world? That's before I knew Jesus. Once I recognized him as my Lord and Savior, once I gave my life over to him, it was pretty easy for me to say, you know what? This world isn't about me, it's about him. So when you truly know him, you can't remain the same anymore. Relationship with him transforms everything from how you see yourself to also how you see other people. Identity. You're no longer defined by your failures of your past, but by his love. You're his beloved child. Purpose. Life stops being about personal ambition and becomes about reflecting his character in the world. Hope. When you walk with Jesus, even suffering gains meaning. You face trials not alone, but hand in hand with the one who conquered death. A vivid example of transformation comes again from our dear Apostle Peter. He was once impulsive, fearful, and truly unstable. Peter became bold and steadfast after encountering the risen Christ. The difference was relationship. Jesus didn't just instruct Peter. He restored him. That same transforming grace is actually available to each and every one of us. Relationships have seasons. Every relationship experiences seasons. Joyful summers, testing winters. Our relationship with Christ is no different. In seasons of abundance, we learn gratitude and humility, remembering that every blessing is a gift. It's not a guarantee. In seasons of loss, we discover depth. Jesus draws nearest to those brokenhearted. In seasons of waiting, our trust matters as we learn to believe even when we can't see. Through it all, his love is constant. Hebrews, my favorite book in the Bible, 13:8, reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. The consistency of his presence anchors us when everything else is shifting. So number seven, that brings us to abiding daily. Simple steps to grow nearer to Christ. Now, begin your mornings with gratitude before ever touching your phone. Whisper, "Lord, thank you for today." Or you can do as my wife does, and just simply say, "I only have one thing to do today, and that is to follow Jesus." Read a few verses and ask, "What does this reveal about your heart?" Talk with him through the day while you're driving, cooking, or out for a walk. I love talking to him when I drive. I'm all by myself. I love Bluetooth because nobody thinks I'm crazy. Like I said last week, I can talk away. And you know, years ago, if you did that, people would drive by and go, "That guy's nuts." Well, now, because of Bluetooth, I'm safe to just pray away all day long. And yeah, I love it. It's my time. So, at night, take time to reflect. So, where did I notice his presence in my life today? Over time, these small acts shape a secret rhythm where every moment becomes prayer, every breath becomes communication and communion. Relationship, this is number eight, relationship beyond religion. One of the greatest temptations for seasoned believers is substituting religion or religious activity for genuine relationship. Wow, we can serve in a church. We can sit on different committees. We can lead worship or preach sermons. Yet we can still lose intimacy with Christ. He warned us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, "You have forsaken the love that you had at first." We have to remember that. He loved us first, and that's where we should keep our focus. Jesus is not impressed with our resumes. He desires our hearts. He doesn't want fans. He wants followers. Think of Mary sitting at his feet while Martha's busying herself in the kitchen. Jesus said that Mary had chosen the better part, time in his presence. That is what sustains every other form of service. When relationship is real, ministry becomes overflow. We love others because we have been loved, because we have been forgiven, and we serve others because he served us first. Number 9, the joy and reward of knowing him. Paul calls Christ the surpassing worth, that everything else pales in comparison. Philippians 3, verse 8. Why? Because nothing else can satisfy the deepest hunger of the human heart. Friendship with Jesus gives peace, a calm that the world cannot take away. Fellowship with Jesus brings us joy, not dependence on circumstances. Faithfulness to Jesus produces fruit. Patience, kindness, evidence of his Holy Spirit within us. Ultimately, relationship with him is both the means and the end of salvation. Heaven itself is not primarily about pearly gates. It's about unbroken communion with Jesus forever. So to wrap this up this morning, I want to give you three words. They are, come closer still. If you've known about Jesus, but you haven't really known him, that invitation stands today. He's not a theory. He's not doctrine or an idea. He's alive, and he's waiting for your relationship. If you've known him, but you've grown distant, his arm remains outstretched just as it was on the cross. He says, abide in me and I in you. This is not a command or a burden, but of love, a promise that when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. James chapter 4, verse 8. So today, whether your heart feels cold or alive, busy or broken, step closer. Talk to him. Listen to his voice. Let his love redefine your life. Because the greatest treasure is not what Jesus gives, but it's Jesus himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your words speak to our hearts. I pray that everyone in here has the ears to hear this message today, that all you want for, all you yearn for is relationship with us. You want us to understand this love, this agape love that you offer so freely. And we as believers need to just trust and accept that your love is all they need. So we just ask this, Lord, and we pray that everybody goes today and has time to just sit, reflect, pray, and even meditate just on you. And we ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. We do have muffins back there because it is Valentine's weekend, so we thought it would be nice if we offered everybody up some muffins and some coffee. If you want to stay behind and just enjoy that, enjoy some fellowship, love on one another, as Jesus says, then you're more than welcome. Love to have you. Enjoy your week.